Welcome back to The Punchline, episode number 9 for Matchroom Boxing, supported by JD Sports. I'm your host, Tom Davis, and today we're joined by the guy, the pretty boy, Mr. Josh Kelly.
Yes, bro.
Yes, my man. How are you doing? You good?
Well, good, bro. I'm being on Zoom. I've been like once before in COVID, do like a quiz, and then that's the only time I've been. So I want to get like you on the big screen. How do I do that? There you are. Got you.
This is the one to do. This. I spent half of my life during COVID on these Zooms.
Horrible.
They're weird, aren't they? How have you found it? Yeah, have you found lockdown?
Good, mate, to be fair. Well, like, I had a new baby in lockdown. So, like, it was due May time. So that was just in the midst of everything. Do you know what I mean? So. Wow. It was mad, like going in, she was in labour, I had to wait until she was in like full-blown labour to get in, and all this madness, it was just crazy. So
It's a mad thing as well, having a kid like born into that madness, because you've got another little one, right? You've got two now.
Yeah, I've got two, so one's just turned two, and one's 6 months, so the 2-year-old's going through the terrible twos, and the 6 months going through everything, like teething and all this madness, bro. So it's... House is mad at the moment.
Is it how's that been though? Like, because obviously, like when you do like what you do for a living, or even to an extent what I do for a living, you're not at home a lot. Do you know what I mean? So all of a sudden, your emphasis of like training and that all had to change. Like, so now you're at home. How did you find it being like almost like a dad at home, like almost like a normal guy at home?
It's lovely being at home, Mark. I feel blessed that the kids are healthy, the missus is healthy and everything, but it was hard, bro. It was well hard, you know. Like, doing their night shifts and stuff, I'm like, when I'm in the gym, I'm like, right, I'm staying away now, do you know what I mean? I says, like, to the missus, listen, you can do all that. I says, I applaud you for what you do, because I couldn't do that, mate. The night shift, the early mornings, like, if the kid wants to be up at 4:30, he's getting up at 4:30, do you know what I mean? He can't say, no, you got to go back to bed. You can try it. It's not gonna work. He's gonna be up at 4:30, so, and then you get him in. Like, the older ones, alright. He's got a bit more of a routine, but the younger ones, like the other day, there I was in bed, and he started talking for like a good 30 minutes, and I said to the missus, put his dummy in and just chill him out. She went, he's up now, Josh. I went, there's no way I'm getting up now. It was 4:30 in the morning. And then little mate, I take my hat off to her. To be fair, she's doing well.
When are you back? Like, I mean, fight-wise, you're fighting again this year, or?
I think it's January, end of January. I think I'll be fighting.
Because you were the first fight, right, that got cancelled on the run-up to lockdown, right? You had the big European title fight, right, and that was cancelled March.
March, it was 28th, March 28th, and it's been mad. I got ill during the COVID period. I think I didn't get a test or anything. I just isolated myself and stuff, but it wrote us off for a good while. So I don't know what it was. I thought it was just the flu, but I never really got tested. Everyone says, oh, you've definitely had the thing, but it is what it is. I just sort of rode it through, and it was just loads of little personal things going on through lockdown. It seems like everything came on top when lockdown hit on, do you know what I mean? So when lockdown hit, everything come on top. So
I found that you have, I found with lockdown for your, like, there's a load of things. If you're busy and if you've got a lot going on, you can kind of like close the door on, and you can be working, you can be grafting and you know, training, whatever you guys do. But then as soon as like that door's open and you're left alone, especially your own thoughts and whatever. And I found like training for me, I was like, man, I just need to do like, fuck it. Cause I speak to your agent, your manager quite a lot. He's a top guy. I was saying to him, I took up golf. I was like, I never thought I'm gonna obsess with it.
We need a round, you know.
Oh, mate, I'm already getting a date. You know, I was gonna play with you I spoke to Jack and I was like, I want to play with you boys. And he was like, And I was down filming in Essex. And I spoke to my driver, like, how do I get over to this way? Like, and he was like, well, this, and I just couldn't get over, man. I was gutted.
You come down in the bushes?
Mate, I'm obsessed with these buses. I'm obsessed.
The birds, wings, ribs. We need to drop that in, bro.
Mate, like, look, I'm a 41-year-old man who, when I see that fucking food, I'm obsessed with it. I look at that.
Yeah, the food's fine. Like, I haven't had a chance to taste it because I've been, as soon as the school got set up and stuff during the lockdown, on the back end of it, I started to train again. I started having to watch what I'm eating and everything like that. So I couldn't really, really taste any of it. So I've just been seeing people eat it. And I'm like, what does it taste like? And they're like, it's banging. So I need to get down after the next fight and spend some time down there tasting everything.
I'll be coming down with you. How did you get in? What was the move into that? Because it's a great, like, genuinely, like, I know, I mean, you've got quite a few friends in common. Like Charlie, I know well. Yeah. Michael Conlon, like, I chatted to a bit, and like, but yeah. Like we started. You obviously looked at me and thought, this is a guy who's gonna like fucking burgers, wings, and ribs. You messaged me, and I was like, looking at these pictures was like torture. But how comes you? How did you make that move into that? What was the thing that?
So I met Jack through I think it was Lee.
Yeah, I know Lee. Yeah.
Guy Lee. And so I met Jack through Lee and Michael Conlon. And that we just got talking and we got close in, and he knew a few people. So I said, listen, we can do a little bit like of the sort of managing side. Cause he knew a few. I said, sweet. So we got down that road, and then he just rang us one day. He was like, listen, me and one of my good friends are setting this company up. We would likely come down on the soft opening. I said, sweet. So I'll come down and have a look. So I come down, and it was like this big bus blacked out, chefs in there and everything. And I was like, wait a minute, this looks all right, this. Like, this could catch on, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's quite niche, do you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, so I was looking, I says, have you got anything healthy on the menu? He said, yeah, we've got this and this and this. So I went, all right, bring us one of the healthy ones out. This is the only time I've tried their food. So he brought us this chicken thing out, and I was like, mate, this is nice. And I went in, met all the chefs and stuff. That night I went home and I was sat there screwing, thinking, oh, I wish I thought of an idea like this, you know. I wish I thought of something like this in lockdown, especially because it's all deliveries. So I just rang him and we got talking. I said, listen, what's the crack? And what you looking to do? You moving on with another bus? How many are you looking to get? And then we just went from there. And then I joined the team. So it's like three of us is the directors, but him and Neil and the team just grafting non-stop, and like they're trying to perfect everything. And to be fair, they're getting it nailed on. Like, they've got another little thing as well, Breco, which is like a breakfast thing in the morning down, I think it's in one of the train stations down in Colchester. It's gone mad. I think we'll have like a good few buses by the end of next year, but it's
a great little sideline, isn't it? Because it's that's the thing that's interesting as well, because I mean, that sort of food is like, if that's my thing, and I love that stuff. And I was like, because I was chatting to you about trying to get down there, and it, like, I suppose that's a lockdown thing. Yeah. It's been tough, but is that the thing? Like, did you see yourself, like, because I remember even like when I don't know if it was Charlie or someone when I followed your career a bit, but you, like, you had a sponsor. Yeah, Charlie Beats is like, I know Charlie from way back, like from back in Croydon. Yeah. And, Charlie's the character that I play, King Gary, is loosely based on Charlie.
Is it? He's gonna be
but Charlie, and he's an incredible guy. Like, genuinely, like, one of the most like an amazing boxer.
That rough and caring man,
but like a real he was in the fire service, but he's an incredible, just a top man. But I remember him telling me like about you, and you were quite quick. You had your champion, weren't you? Quite quick as a sponsor.
Yeah, champion's been on board now for like a year, so that's going well. Champion is that was like the first one of the first major sponsors I got. Like, I had JD and stuff as well when that was about Matchroom, but Champion come on and then like sponsored me, which is lovely. Do you know what I mean? They're a really good, really good.
Because even now with like the burgers, wings, and ribs, but you, like, when I first saw you, felt like, even when you were first getting into the game, you felt like a package already, sort of like you're a bit. We'll get onto your ability as a boxer, because I think you're incredible to watch. And like with me and my missus watched you for the first time when you fought on the AJ card, and I was like, this guy's exciting. Yeah. Like, just wait, and she's got into her boxing because of myself, and it's Then we watched some of your old fights, but. Like, how much was that in your head of like building a package of like, this is who I'm going to be as Josh Kelly when I come into this industry? I'm not just going to be a boxer, a name. Like, I want to basically be a brand, a bigger thing than that.
right? It's always got to be on you. Like, say boxing's a business. If you look at the old school days, it was more of a purist game, and it was more like not a purist game. So it was more just like Ray Leonard days and Camacho. They all just used to fight. Do you know what I mean? Used to get in the ring and fight. They used to fight back to back. If you look at their records, some of them used to fight like 6, 7, 8 times in a year and back to back. And it was all about fighting. But when the Mayweather era come round, it was like everything just started becoming more of a business, and everyone was focused on the zero and all this. So when you go into boxing, you always got to have that in the back of your mind as a professional. You've got to say, like, right, I'm onto this sport. I love this sport. I want to do well in the sport. I want to be a world champion. But the thing is, to get audiences to watch it, to do this, to do that, you have to sort of switch your character on when you're in there. Do you know what I mean? Do you get what I'm saying? Like yourself, you say you play a character. When you go in the ring, it's never me outside the ring. It's never like me when I'm with the kids and the family. That's a damn. I'm just like a soft-hearted, really sort of try and keep myself under the radar sort of guy. But when I'm in the ring, I've got to play a character, because I've got to just go into a different mindset and got to go into like this cocky, horrible mind. I hate watching myself out. I'm like, bro, you look like a div sometimes. I'm looking, thinking you look like a div there. But when I'm in the ring, I need to feel that way to perform the way I need to perform. So it's all sort of
part. But you've got to have the minerals to back up as well. To have there's an element of like how you are within the ring and actually outside it. Who might I was on holiday last year or year before, and I met Prince Nazim, and he was at the same hotel. And like, what a down to earth, lovely guy. I spent a while chatting to him and chatting to him about the sport and whatever. And he was a really top lad. And there's an element of like knowing people you know, and like knowing about you and chatting to you a bit on Instagram, that you're a down to earth guy. But you've got to like, to fight the way you fight, there's such a small percentage of boxers who are able to get in and do the things that you do, right? Because it's not a normal thing. It's, you know, it's just that's like when you're watching it, let's just say for that AJA Ruiz, you were the only fighter I can think of on that card. It's a big card who fought that way. It's like, you know, and so when you did it, was that always your style? Was that always how you thought, this is how I'm going to do it?
From young, I always used to like watching, because as a kid, you always want to watch the people who are the most entertaining. As kids, you just want to be entertained, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, I'm watching the telly and I'm like, if some fight's on and they're both tucked up and they're both slogging at each other, as a kid, I used to watch it, but I used to switch off and think, I didn't see any entertainment in it. But, like, when you see when, like, Nas and Eubank and all them used to come on, I used to watch and think, wow, like, look at this. Oh my God, even if I liked the guy, didn't like the guy, I'd be sitting there watching it, loving it, do you know what I mean? Watching every little part of it. And I thought, that's the way you got to capture people's imaginations. That's where you got to capture the audience, because you've always got to play a character. Like, not play a character, but I think a lot of boxers subconsciously just go into that mindset anyways.
Yeah.
When they get into the ring, every boxer's got an alter ego when they get in the ring. And a lot of people judge their personalities on the way they fight, and it sometimes does play out, but other times, majority of the times, I think people really do go into like a different mindset when they're in the ring. A lot of boxers do.
But then, like, what? Because you are like a down to earth, you're really like a humble guy. But when you first get into that, Josh, and you're first going to try that way of fighting, right? The way that you fight, right? That's like, because probably 95% of people, I boxed as a kid, I wasn't much good, I was all right, I probably didn't, you know. But to get in and that be the way you go in your head, like, you know what, I'm gonna fucking flare it up, I'm gonna have a little bit, I'm gonna go like this, right? To have the balls to do that, but then also carry it off. Because, like, let's face it, a lot of people are gonna go in, try the way you fight and just get pinged out, and then that's it. Like, you know, did you take blows early on in the way of going, right, I'm gonna make this is gonna work? Because I guess it's a bit like when you do stand-up, and I remember changing from doing stand-up where I was telling a lot of jokes to actually doing observations and more Mickey Flanagan, and making that transition was like, shit, I could lose all my work. I could look, you know, it weren't the end, but it was hard, but no one was punching me in the face when I was doing that all the time. So, how did that work for you though?
So when I was a kid, I used to, like I said, I used to watch loads and loads and loads of boxes. But I used to like, so I used to be in, I remember used to being in senior school, and I was used to go to old boys' school, St. Aidan's, and it was rough enough, but it was like, we had used to have like IT rooms, and like I used to, in the break times, I used to be like, you could go in the IT room if you wanted to and chill out a little bit. But I used to be with the lads most of the time, and then sometimes I'd jet off, especially when I got older, maybe like 9th year, 10th year, I used to sit in the IT rooms and just watch endless amounts of boxing, just Roy Jones, Colonel Whittaker, mate, all the old school fighters, just sit there and watch them, go home and watch them, and try to feel how they were feeling in the ring. So when I do it, I try to feel the same way as they feel. So I go to the gym and I'd be like, right, tonight I want to spar like Ricky Hatton. I want to spar like Ricky Hatton tonight. Yeah. Total different style. I might just put the pressure on and try and switch angles and hit them with body shots. But I put myself in a mindset. I had to watch him before I went in the ring. So all the times I'd be like, right, I'm going to fight like Nas tonight. I've got to be like this. I've got to be cocky. I've got to sort of switch my head on before I go in there. And it was all like a feel to me. And then I got my dad opened the gym, and I got into that gym, and he was just like, look, Josh, I've known you since, obviously, he taught us the boxing, do you know what I mean? And he knows me inside out. So he said, Josh, just do you, and I know which way you box best. So we used to go round and round and round and sparring with hands down, and just, Josh, you're not allowed to punch. So the guy's allowed to punch, like, two people in, and I was one person, me versus three people sparring, and loads and loads and loads of movement. Everything was about moving. And because when I was a kid, I was like a stocky little, like fiery kid. What I was like a defender. I was a footballer at the start of me sporting thing. And I was a defender, midfielder. I always used to graft and used to be like hard tackle and used to just love getting mucked in. And that's my boxing style originally. I was a come forward and used to just punch. But my dad saying something, he said, look, you can box easier than this. Why don't you do it like this? And I was like, right, I'll try that. And then when it started working in the ring and stuff, I was like, how easy is this? Like, why have I not done this when I first started? Because not only are you making yourself more up with, but also you're playing with other guys' emotions. So the other guy's thinking, he's sticking his hands down. And they're thinking you're taking the mick, but in a sense, it's just your natural, it's a natural style. And when they miss you, and to get a little bit more emotional, a little bit more frustrated, and then they become more predictable, and then it just rolls on from there. And then it's so I just developed that style since I was like 12, 13, and then coming through, I've got used to it. And then obviously now in the pros, I do it a lot. I do it day in, day out. It's my job. So you just groove it eventually. Do you know what I mean? And you get used to it.
It's like, because when you talk there, what's great as well is like the method behind that, even like just listening to you say like that's going to frustrate people. Your hands are down. People are going to start making mistakes. Like to play that game. That's the other thing I think that, you know, when you watch you as a boxer, there's so much method behind it. Cause you know, there's so much like just chatting to you now, but it's mad listening to you say about Hatton, Nazim, and like watching them. And then, cause that's almost like an actor. You're getting into the ring and you're like, but that gives you so much different. But to be able to do that in itself, Josh, is pretty fucking amazing. To go, oh, I'm just going to fight like Ricky Hatton today, and just go in and just.
I know. it did take us years to get it, because some days I used to go in and I used to get the head boxed off, and I used to come out and have a different. I used to think, oh my god, why did I do that? Why did I do that? I'm never using that again. I'm never using that style again. I'm never going into that mindset again. Then I get in the ring the next week, spar someone totally different, and then I'd switch back to that style, and that style would work. So it's all like horses for courses. Like you always gotta have like a plan, sort of plan B, plan C. I told Adam, and Adam's like, right, this round I want you to go out and feel this way when you spar and do this sort of style. And he's got a good known, he's got a really good knowledge of that, because we taught on a deep level, and when he boxed back in the day, he used to do sort of similar things. So we know exactly what we're talking about when we sit down in the corner and stuff. So
because I mean, that's the big thing for me is it's like, you know, when you see people and they, it's like they find that kindred spirit almost, And like you and Booth feel like, and I love, like for me, he's like a boxing purist. He's a great character for the for the game. But for you and him, and I remember like, I can't remember which fight you were fighting. And before it was, they were interviewing him. And the way he talked about you was like, wow, like, you know, this, you know, for everyone he's training, he's got some incredible people. I know a lot of the guys down at that gym that he trains. When he was talking about you, it was like this, essentially it felt like he was talking about himself. Do you know what I mean? His own way of like, cause I mean, that's as well, just do a big shout out for like Adam Booth, because you look at the fighters he's got down there, they all fight, there's so many different people who fight in different styles. And for me, like, the way he's able to just look at someone like Conlon and go, right, he's going to fight like this. You know, there's always the purist in him, because I think he's incredible for that side of it. But how he manages to sort of like pick those different things in people and just go, right, this is how you're going to do it.
He works it out so quick. He's like, right, this is where Michael fights best like this. And he's got to have a mindset for this. And when you do this, you got to think this way. And it's all about feeling. Like when you play golf, for an instance, when you hit a ball, the way to repeat that feeling, if no one's physically videoing you, the way to repeat that shot is to just try and create the same feeling in the same way you did it again and again. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the same way in boxing. If you hit a guy, if you hit the pad nice and you hit it like a crisp, hard jab, and then with zero effort, you think, wow, right, now you've got to repeat that same feeling, same mindset you've exactly did, and try and get that over and over again. That's the way. I think a lot of us box, like down to feeling and start different styles.
It always looks like a fun place to train. Like it looks like you all get on. It's you all go to each other's fights.
Yeah, it's competitive as well, man. Like we run this box hill now, and it's a beast, and we do non-stop on there. And shout out to Paul Forrester, man. He's a good guy. He's just I don't want to start getting his eardrum on here. I want to get back to the gym, but he's a good character to have in the gym, and he's worked here for his ages. Man, he comes up and does box hill with us and pushing. He's like he's crazy working here, but. The competition between us on the hills and sprints and running, because although we can compete in boxing, we don't really spar a lot together,
because
obviously the weight is different, but like in running and stuff, it's always a competition. It's always like,
who's winning?
I tell you, it is when we're on form, when all of us are up fit. I think all of us at our peak, it's horses for courses. I think Michael's light, and he's a runner. Do you know what I mean? He can just get up them hills without even carrying anything up there. I mean, arms a bit bigger, so we got a little bit more to get up there. So hill wise, I think Michael, but sprinting stuff, I think, oh, I don't know who that is. X'd off for a set there. Sorry, man.
That's all right. Go.
Sprinting stuff. I think I'm the man for sprints. I know Harlem's good as well, man. Harlem's coming through now, so. It's great competition.
Because obviously it's quite not a lonely sport, but it's an individual sport. But what I think, from what I can tell, and chatting to a couple of the guys down there, like Adam's like created quite a sort of team mentality. I love it when you see like when you're fighting, you're all there to watch that person.
The backing's good, man. Like you've got. See, you make proper good connections with people. When you make them connections, you feel for them when you're in the ring. So you have to. It's not like a thing where like, oh, I have to go down there because he's from the gym. It's a thing like, well, I'm going down there because he's my guy. I wanna turn up. I've been through this. I've bled, sweat, and I've did everything what he's did in training camp. Each other, and some days Michael comes in and he's like, oh, you know, we have to. Do you know what I mean? And you're there for each other. You lift each other up. So it's great.
Cause it's hard because a lot of you. A lot of you are training. You train away from home as well, right? You stay there. Because that's
done. I've got a place here, and like the miss actually moving up in there at the moment because I'm in a. I said, listen, I need. I'm not the best at tidying up. So she comes through, and I stay here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then on the off days I get to go home and see the kids and stuff, so it's nice, but nearly for away, and then when it gets closer to fight time, then it's constantly for away, because I feel like when I go home, I get softened up.
Yeah, you need that fire, You're listening to The Punchline from Matchroom Boxing. Here's a short message from our partners at JD Sports.
Yo, what's good, people? I hope you're enjoying Matchroom Boxing's Punchline. I just wanted to let you know, though, about the JD in the Duffel Bag podcast hosted by myself, Chucky Online, and Rebecca Dudley. We got some real interesting conversations with the likes of Anthony Joshua, Eddie Hearn, and Maya Jama. Just search JD in the Duffel Bag podcast on your favorite podcast app right now, yeah?
So January is your name, your next, that's the big one, right? You're fighting to, yeah. So when will you go? So what does that mean for Christmas? That means Christmas is like shit, man.
Christmas cancelled everyone this year, so timing's beautiful. I said like, there's no Christmas for anybody this year, really, is he?
No. I just think I'll eat more. I'm just gonna try it.
You said I'm gonna be running on Christmas Day, I'm gonna be through here in this flat. I don't think I'd be going home. If I go home, there'd be Christmas Day on the table. There's no way I can see that, so I'm through here, bro.
So are you, that's the thing, are you going to go like hardcore, I'm fighting? Because that's the thing, right? I look at it as what, like, it's a weird thing. I went back and filmed last week and I haven't done any filming for like the whole of lockdown. Usually like, I'd act more, I'd be on camera more. Yeah. I found like, fuck man, my mind. I said to my wife like 3 days before, like, you know, as silly as it is, I need to get my head into this thing. And
yeah.
But even like now, I was talking to Ramesh, who's like, I do a lot of stuff, yeah. And I was like, just the thought of going back on stage and doing stand up, I'm like, fuck, man. Like I think I'd have to go away for a month and like just like isolate.
Lock in.
Christmas is hard.
Yeah, hard, mate. Christmas. It's probably one of the best times of the year, Christmas, because obviously all the family comes together and
yeah,
it's unreal. But I put it this way, I say, like, listen, how many years have you got in this sport? How many years do you think you're going to be at your prime, and how much money can you make and how successful can you be in the sport then to retire? So yeah. If I can sacrifice one Christmas to have 40, 50 Christmases onwards, living an unbelievable lifestyle without, well, obviously, give me kids, then of course it's
worth it.
It's a no-brainer.
So that next fight for you, which is massive, that's for European title, right?
Yeah.
And then from there, is that like, do you see that as being like, because for me, you feel on like the real precipice of like being of that, like, you know, lots of my boxing mates who love boxing, love watching you, you know, and you're carving out that reputation more and more, but it feels that you're just on the precipice of being that person that, because you're just so different, there's something unique about what you do. Do you think that moment there then, Josh, you're like, bang, I'm for, like.
Yeah, I think when I win this, a lot of people are going to be surprised, because he's a tough guy, David. Tough guy. He's a world class operator. But when I do win, people will be surprised and they're going to be like, right, oh, well, got to give him some ratings. Now, I didn't get no ratings for fighting Carlos Molina in my sixth fight. I didn't get no credit really for fighting Ray Robinson in Madison Square Gardens, like 6 weeks after fighting previous.
Yeah.
And he was the last person to beat Terence Crawford as amateur. He boxed Ugas. He just drew, really, and supposedly won against Kavalauskas. So it was a massive step up, but it is what it is. I'm used to that. I'm from a good strong background in Sunderland, where I'm used to stuff like this. Like,
I find myself like in my business, and it's like, you know, because it's the only thing I can compare it to, but I think like when I was like doing stand-up, and I remember like people going, oh, this person's the one to watch, so I never got on those lists, or you know, this is the most exciting comedian coming from. I was never like, you know, then I hit people with this show, that show. I mean, Charlie knew me then, like I used to train at your old gym. I used to like, and when I was doing a roll there,
like the box or something,
so like to lift. I used to get down there with a guy called James Baker, a big unit, and just train. And so the thing for me always was that just drove, even now it drives me on, like, because I know that there's always going to be other people. So do you find that thing there is like, at some point you're going to be the name on everyone's lips, But if it comes too early, or it comes too like you haven't worked for it, haven't grafted for it, it doesn't mean as much.
Nah, like at the end of the day, people can speak what they want. They can say what they want. It's their opinions. Like, I've got nothing against anyone's opinions. It's their right to have an opinion on anybody they want. But if you know what you're doing in the gym, and you know where you're going, and you've got a tunnel vision, you've got a small circle there, they know what you're doing in the gym, and they know the way you're working, then that's all you can go off. That's all I can't really take positives off people who have never seen his truly graft, and I can't never take negatives off people who haven't really seen his truly graft. So it's like, fair enough, you think I'm that, but I can't really, like, if it, oh, Josh Kelly, it's going to be this, going to be that, and like, fair enough, it's lovely, but I only know what I know. Do you get what I mean? You're looking on the outside in. You don't have a clue what's going on, so no. I know what I know. And it, obviously, if you take the positive compliments to heart, you're going to take the negative to heart. So you just got to keep it level and say, listen, it's a journey, and if at the end of it, then you'll be judged to see what you've done. And I think I've performed pretty well up now. I just need to collect this European title on the third.
Well, man, I think the fact is you've performed amazingly up to now. Like, you're in, like, I think. Like, the step ups you've made, you're sort of one of the most exciting fighters to watch out there, for me anyway. I think you've got a hunger, right? You're in this to get to the very top, you know. Yeah. I mean, even when it comes back, when you think back to like the Olympics and stuff, which must have been amazing, right? Just to go out there and be a part of that. How did you find that as an experience?
It was good. It was really good. I like the experience. Beforehand was probably, it's probably more of a euphoric thing than actually going, because in 2015, like, I'd already qualified for the first qualifier. I think it was me and Joe Joyce, I think, qualified to the European Games, and then the rest of the squad went to the European Championships, and they qualified to that. See, the qualifying process was mad for the Olympics. Yeah, I qualified for the qualifiers. Like the early qualifiers anyways. So I sort of like took a period off there resting when everyone else was going to the other ones, because I sat back and I was thought, oh, I'm going to the qualifiers so I can just chill. And then we all went to the World Championships. A good team went out there, and I think I was one fight away from the qualification spot, but I got beat off the guy who eventually won the gold medal. But I just, after this, I was that dedicated to the sport sort of thing, and I was pushed from such so young. I just thought, I've never really lived any life here. I've never lived as a kid, and I think the full disappointment of everything just come crashing on us, and I just didn't leave the sport for like 2 or 3 months. I think I ended up coming back in late January, February, and I just ended up going mad, and they were talking about kicking us off the team and this and this and this, and it was... I thank them for giving us a second chance, because after that, I come back and I dedicated like 14, 15 weeks, and I trained and went to the qualifiers and got a beautiful draw and qualified. And that was from being just living a normal life for, say, 6-7 weeks, turning into just a normal guy, to coming back and qualifying for the Olympics was crazy. Like, after back, I'm just like, I'm going to do it now. Like, I want to, and it was to have the chance to do that as well. I have to take that off to the guys there, but that was probably more of a, oh my God, compared to going to the Olympics. The Olympics, I built it up so big in my head when I got there, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but it was, oh my God, it was, yeah. But I think when you build something up so big, when you get there, you're not wowed by it. I was thought, like, in my head, I was like, what you got? It's going to be like this, boom, boom, boom. And, but it was an unbelievable experience. It was probably one of the experiences there for a lifetime on.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's genuine. I mean, I always think, like, how many people are ever going to experience that? Like, when you look at it and you're like, you're a kid from Sunderland who's like here now, and you're like, I'm at the Olympics. Do you know what I mean? That's an incredible thing.
It was mad. I remember walking out in the tunnel, and they used to do you have to have a certain order where you walk out. So everyone walks out in the tunnel for opening the ceremony. Only certain people are allowed to go to the ceremony if you're not boxing. So if you're boxing, say, in a couple of days' time, you're not allowed to go, because it's a long process. It's like 3 or 4 hours long. So luckily enough, I wasn't. So a couple of the other lads went boxing as well. So do you want to go to the ceremony? I went, yeah, 100%. So I think Andy Murray was leading it, and he had, like, threw the flag and everything. And they were trying to order certain, they had, like, certain sports brought out in certain orders. And I don't know, it was, like, sort of quite thing. And I think boxing was quite far back in the queue, like, to get out. So I was looking, and I was like, to some of my guys, I was like, look, we're not going to get in on this camera, you know, if we don't get at the front. They're going to just do the first few rows, and then they're going to just switch off to another country. We're not even going to get seen on. I want to get seen on telly, like, I want to wave to my mum and dad and all them. This isn't one once-in-a-lifetime thing, do you know what I mean? So everyone was like, yeah, we get it. So I was like, right, we're going to make a run through the tunnel. When the tunnel goes, because when they shout you through, they'll try and organise you, then when they say, right, GB walk out, it just gets like quite chaotic because everyone's bouncing and cheering and all that. So as that happened, I just went through the crowd, and I think a couple of people were trying to stop us, and a couple of lads ran through us, and I remember walking out, and I was right next to Andy Murray at the front, and I was like, oi, I smashed everything else that happened in the Olympics. I'm here, like, I was waving and everything, and oh, it was so funny. After we got like, people were like, listen, you got to be careful doing that, you get pulled. But I was like, nah, I mean, there's one chance, I'm taking it.
Yeah, man, you've got to live for those moments. That's an impressive, proper incredible. I mean, that's an incredible. I mean, that also falls into that thing, like, because like that nickname as well is, I mean, again, in your business, right? There's not so many people who could. Did you call yourself that, or did someone else?
No, we were joking on, me and Eddie, and I think then it caught on, and Eddie was like, oh, that's it. And I was like, oh, mate, you know what it is? It's going to be hard. I thought it's going to be hard work carrying like that name. I just didn't want to be, like, for me, I was like, oh, no, I'm going to get so much stick for this. I want to be that. But really, now, it's just PBK. No, I don't think it's ever, I'm not ever be like, I never try and say, oh, pretty boy or nothing like that, because it's not. Like, I'm a man now. I'll be an older man when I retire. So it's never the pretty boy. I think just the PBK sounds all right by itself. So it's more of a just a, it's more of a low, it's more of a, like a short abbreviation now than the thing. I hate it when I walk out and say one of the MCs, David or someone, just shouts it, and I'm like, oh, just leave it as the abbreviation, bro, and just stop it there. Don't be shouting our full thing out. I'm like, don't be shouting our full thing out there. Oh, lad.
But mate, you've got to be able to carry that again, like with your style as a boxer, like. Could you imagine, like, there's some boxers who walk out a pretty boy, but you weren't, like, you weren't a good-looking geezer if you were coming out.
I said to the missus, I said, listen, I've got to change his name soon. I says, after, when you start getting these hard fights, I said, the nose will start creeping over there, like, your eye will drop, like, Cosimoto after a while. Like,
you'll have to be like, Josh used to be pretty boy, get me?
Used to be, has been.
Please. So you look at like the European title, and I have no doubt that you're going to go on to bigger and better things, and you keep growing. But what is after for after you finish up? And some people, like when I talk on this podcast, you talk to some people who you can talk to about retirement, and they're like, yeah, I've got this plan or that plan. Some people are like, oh no, I don't ever want to think about ever retiring. I don't want to think about that moment. So, you know, what for you, do you think you seem like you've got ideas past the sport?
Yeah, I mean, I want to build I talk to a good few close friends. I've got really close friends, and we talk about like trying to create generational wealth and trying to create wealth where, because like setting up that for my kids and setting up their kids and their kid and hopefully their kids would just be a dream. You wouldn't have to worry. I mean, like growing up, you have to sometimes like, you'd have to, like, there's no, you'd have to sort stuff out, like, if you know your mum would go for the shop and this and this and this, and you might be waiting for, I don't know, you might be waiting for, the lights might go out, you might need a, little things like this, like, yeah. I grew up and I treasure every moment like that, because it's real life, wasn't, and I guess loads of kids have grown up, it's majority of the world grow up like that, but when you get out that sort of situation, you start seeing the more luxurious things in life. You think, right, these hardships made us who I am now, and they've got my thoughts in the right place, because I'm starting, starting to look towards business as well, obviously, as well as outside of boxing, looking at business and just creating things so when I win a world title, then I don't have to think like everything's on this, everything's on the next purse, everything's this. I can say, listen, I'm happy where I'm at. I can walk away when I want to walk away, and that's probably the best feeling in the world, because then you start to fall in love with the sport again, because it becomes a hobby, it doesn't become your job. If you're thinking for the next payday, you've got to secure that next pay, you've got to secure that next purse, then you're stressing and it becomes a job. But once your finances are taken care of, then it becomes like a hobby again. You fall in love with it, like, because you're a purist again, like Mayweather. People say, how does he keep doing it? How do these guys keep doing it? I guess they've got that much money that they just love the sport. They fell back in love with the sport of boxing. So hopefully that I would love that sort of thing to happen there.
So talking of hobbies, and I'll finish up with this, because this is all I'm looking forward to. Yeah, I can say to people, come February, I'm down in Essex, and I'm playing golf with a European champion. Yeah.
Oi, mate, I'm telling you. Listen. We'll do a little video after.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Mate, I'll get Jack to film the whole thing.
Oi. What do you play off?
Like, I've only just started. You know what? I actually was playing all right at the beginning. Like, when I sort of weirdly did that thing where I actually started playing, I was hitting about 106, 107 quite quickly. Yeah. And then I started. Because I was hitting it far, but I was hitting it inconsistently. And then I started getting lessons, and I'm hitting it more consistently, but I'm not hitting it as far at times. So I've just bought a net. And I've been chatting to Jack. Yeah. I'm trying to get down to Southend to play with him down there at that indoor
set. Yeah, he bought a full set of clubs, everything, started hitting right-handed. So anyways, he went to the driving range the other day, and his coach went, I've heard you play left-handed cricket and left-handed snooker. He went, I do. He says, let's try with a left-handed golf club. He's only hitting the left-handed golf club like pure and far and straight. And he says, you're a left-handed golfer. Why did you ever not mention this to me? See, now he's got to refund all the clubs, go back and buy another set of left-handed clubs. He's got right me. It is mad. But, we get out a few times. But, yeah, I love golf. Can't get enough of it.
Oh, mate. How do you find the link between boxing and golf in the temperament in your mind? Is there a link there for you?
There is. The mindset, you've got to keep a cool head playing golf. That's got to be the same as boxing. You've got to keep a cool head no matter what happens, because lose your head, you lose the game.
And
I probably get more nervous teeing off on the first tee next to the clubhouse with people watching in golf than I do in boxing. Well, I know for a fact I do. So when I'm with, I reckon that's well more nervous than walking to the ring is like a doddle compared to teeing off. I mean, I've teed off in front of, like, been on holiday before and I've been teeing off in front of the clubhouse. It's full and you've got like groups behind you waiting, and they're all swings up looking at you. I'm like, this, oh my God, what am I going to hit off here? It's like a long par five to start, and I'm thinking, oh.
The relief, right, when you hit that, like, because especially as well, like, where I go and play, and I hit off that first, again, like you, and it's next to the clubhouse, but there's no hiding when I'm 6'7", right? I'm massive. I can see people going, oh yeah, that's the guy from here. Yeah. And then they're just staring, watching, and then you've got to say it's a spectator sport. And I've performed in front of thousands of people on stage, and like you, I'm far more at ease going and telling the first joke in front of a load of people, and like, rather than hitting that ball on that first tee, is like my ass is literally going from 5p to 50p, and I'm like, oh, this is horrible.
It is literally. When I first started playing, we were on holiday and this group let us through, and I didn't really know what the rules and the etiquette were, but my one of the guys I was playing with said, listen, they'll let us through because we're going a little bit faster than them. I said, oh, nice. So I teed my ball up, and I was looking at them, and they're all standing there watching us tee. And I said to my guy, I says, Ian, these all watch you while we tee off. He went, yeah. I went, do they not just like do their own thing and like, I don't know, turn around and stuff? And just, no, they all watch because they're waiting for you to tee off, so then they tee off behind you. Oh, mate, I've never hit a good shot all day, and then I hit this driver, just went absolutely straight down the fairway, about 200, it wasn't long, but it was straight, and it looked nice, it looked like I knew how to play golf. I picked the ball up, coughed and went. I seen a bit like that. I just walked on like, oh, I thought, that's me, my dear. I'm not bothered even if I hit the next shot, crap. I picked the ball up and put it in my pocket and I don't care, bro. I was off. I was like, catches up with you if I knew.
I had the opposite of that, right? I was playing like about 3 weeks ago and I had these four old women playing, right? They're like in their sort of 60s, right? They're playing behind me. And we come to this fucking annoying hole and I'm like, and I'm playing okay. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try and hit this with my hybrid, tee off with the hybrid. Because I can hit the hybrid like a driver sometimes. I can smash the hybrid. Yeah. Sometimes I find the driver quite frustrating. Yeah. But anyway, I've got these women, they're all like watching, and one of them goes, you know, good luck and all that, and see, you know, and they're all quite sweet. I've hit this, right, not joking, Josh, I've hit, because my shoulders tense up, because I'm like, they're all watching, and I've hit this, and it literally didn't go any further than the ladies' tee, right? And my mates were all like, ah, and then this little old lady went, Tom, why don't you relax and have another shot? And then she came up next to me and started talking like she was my mum or something, like,
And then I'm like, man,
like all my mates are pissing themselves laughing, filming it. And then, but bless her, she's like, I've been playing for 25 years. This is what you need to do. It's like, got me all relaxed. And then I've whacked this hybrid, gone flying, like hit the fairway, like enough. And I'm like, thank you, so bless you. But like, literally having to pick this ball up, I'm like, oh, horrible. Even
that's
now.
That's the worst thing in the world, I think, ever. Like, I think, when people are watching, you hit a crap tee shot, I think that's probably, that could like have me coming home and arguing with the missus. That's how bad that can be.
Sometimes I don't even want to come home.
No, that can have me home, early bath, bed. I want to see the kids, I want to see the missus. I'm just thinking of that shot.
Just lying in a dark room on your own.
Hello, darkness, mate. Just sitting there like that, watching old videos of Tiger just pure and stuff. And I'm looking, thinking, why didn't you do that, bro? Why didn't you do that? Listen, you got all the gear. You look like a right prick out there doing that.
Oh,
like,
mate.
You just sat there just thinking it.
You know, that's the worst thing I did as well, right? That's the worst thing, because I like my clubber a bit. I went out and spent a fortune on like fucking Pringle jumpers. So like when you see me out there, you go, God, a big man's been playing for a while. Do you know what I mean? You're mad at a pair of fucking trousers with tongues on.
All my new clubs and everything. Like, I've got a club for everything. I think I've got like 20 clubs in there. I'm the most illegal golfer on the course. You know, like three putters and everything.
I want one of them big putters.
I mean, I've got Jack's give us one of them. So next time we play, I'll give you one. Doesn't fit me.
If it was, because he's nearly my stamp. He's quite tall, right?
Yeah, he is. That's what I'm saying. That'll suit you.
Oh man, I'll check for that.
Yeah, 100%. Like Adam's a good player, so I play with him a lot. So next time we've got some free time.
Sweet.
All this madness is all that. Link up and
they'll go mate, down. It'll be February. It'll be after you've taken like the European title. We'll hit it up and then we'll go and have a big burger together after.
Lovely. Love to see you. Love to hear it.
My G, it's been an absolute joy, man. I was dying to get you on this because you're like one of my favourite boxers out there.
Thank you, you're a top guy as well.
So fingers crossed. We'll catch up before then anyway, but best of luck and have a lovely Christmas. Give my love to all the boys at the gym.
Yes, 100%. I'll tell Charlie we're nice enough to him. I'll be saying, listen, he does a character with you, you know, bro. And you're like, what character? I'll be like,
he'll know. He sent me a voice note going, I'm on holiday at the moment, yeah. And I've just walked down and I've just looked at myself in a shop window and I've got like a fucking like one of those Batman bag things on trunk sliders. And I said to my missus, am I King Gary? And she just started laughing.
He's getting tortured with this tonight when I see him. If I see him down the gym at night, he's getting tortured. Oh, he's going.
My guy.
Oh, lovely. Right, Tom. I catch up. I watch out for your stuff as well, brother. Have a good one.
Nice one, Josh. Here, all the best, bro.
Man. See you later, bro. Bye bye.
Loved chatting to Josh. Humble young man. And actually, sort of a real contrast to the guy that you see in the ring from the guy that you see out of it. And I'm buzzing to see that fight. Come January. That was episode 9 of The Punchline from Matchroom Boxing, supported by JD Sports. I'm Tom Davis. See you next time.